everybody, it's me, Kathleen Madigan. Welcome to Madigan's Pubcast. You grab yourself a drink, pull up a bar stool, and let's talk about what's been going on. Termites! It's episode 62. How exciting is that? My God. You caught me right in the middle of eating one of these cheese curds. Because now I've returned from Green Bay and Minneapolis, but I can't really be in Wisconsin for more than 2 weekends out of a month or I would end up in a hospital. Just needing, these cheese curds are so good. Hennings, you ever heard of it? There's so many up there, I don't even know what I'm eating. But serving suggestions, appetizers, poutine, fruit or veggie skewers, salads. Great for snacking warm or cold. I prefer cold. Warm. Oh, gross. I know. Hey, you want some? Green Bay was so much fun. I love Wisconsin. Oh, my God. I went to St. Brendan's. I went there the night I got in. People were saying come over after the show, but I was already there the night before. See, I sneak around like that. Pew! Went to the Hinterland Brewery, which is where this is what I'm drinking. The Packerland. See, look, the Packers. It's got the colors. Even their trash cans in Green Bay are color coordinated. I put a picture on Instagram. It's adorable. The lids are yellow and the green trash cans are green. Super different. And then this is the Packerland Pilsner, and it's the Packers colors. And it's a wonderful little Pilsner. Wonderful. Went over to the stadium. You can go in there. You can tour it, even when there's no game or nothing like that. And their pro shop, I put a video on Instagram. Crazy. I mean, God, I've been to... I mean, a ton of them on the road, pro shops. And you're like, yeah, okay. You know, whatever. Pro shop's pro shop. Get a t-shirt for my brother, whatever. But this one, I've never seen anything. It's so expansive. There's a truck in there, a green Chevy with a yellow grill. They've had cheese heads in there. Well worth your time. It's worth a trip. If you're a football fan, you should try to somehow get some Packer tickets once in your life. Just once in your life. Yep. And get up there. Just for fun. My good friend Bill Crawford from where? Pittsburgh opened. Fun. Yeah, he's very funny. A lot of people on Facebook and everything else were asking, who was that guy? I said his name, but I guess I don't remember. Easy to forget because I'm kind of saying it kind of fast in the beginning, I guess. And then we went to Minnesota. Fun, fun, fun. The Minnesota airport, though, it's big. It's big. Yeah. But just when you think you can't make it anymore, one of those dudes in a Delta thing rocks up and goes, hey, you want to ride? And I'm like, oh, you're right in time. Yes. Minneapolis was totally fun. That crowd, Green Bay was the Meyer Theater, old, super cool. And then the State Theater in Minneapolis, that crowd was on fire. So was Green Bay, but Green Bay doesn't hold as many people. So Minneapolis had probably twice as many people just because of the seating. But, yeah, like that's, they were like tape a special kind of crowd. Yeah, it was, I mean, both were great, but Minnesota was, even Bill came off stage and he was like, yeah, wow, man, that's more than I was expecting. So that's it, termites. That's what we're drinking. A little Pilsner. What are we going to taste? How about this for Halloween? Since this will be the last episode before Halloween, they're M&Ms. You could give them to the kids. Cookies and Scream. They're orange, white. Wow. I don't like them. They don't taste like real M&M's. They are.
I don't think they're supposed to.
No. Kids will like it, I guess. I don't really like sweets. But I thought I should let you know there's cookie and cream M&M's out there. If that's your thing. You know what I'm saying? If that's your thing. What do we have here? What's my favorite potato chip on earth? Lay's. These are Lay's Doritos Cool Ranch flavored. I still don't think it'll be as good as Lay's. I don't think you should.
What are termites? Good.
No. I like they're fine. I like the regular Lay's better. Sometimes you have greatness and you can't top it. And that's how I feel about Cheez-Its. That's how I feel about Lay's potato chips. You can't, regular Doritos can't do any better. No. Every time people try to make something taste like ranch in a chip, it ends up tasting like sour cream and onion. That's what it tastes like. Yeah. But, so, you know, I say swing and a miss, Lay's, but go for you. As Rocky Laporte would say, maybe you'll sell a shitload out of it. And then this really got me interested. The Olive Garden's Parmesan Ranch. I can honestly say I haven't been to an Olive Garden in probably, I don't know, 10 years. And really, all I ever liked was the breadsticks. I think that's why we all go. But I've never tasted their ranch. I'll give it a try. It's available in your grocery store. Olive Garden Parmesan Ranch. Let's see. Wow. Good. It's really good.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
A reason to go back.
Like, that's an A+. Look at the Olive Garden impressing me out of nowhere. Because usually I just... Here's how I judge your town. Do you have a Longhorn? Right. I love Longhorn. It's a great road place. Applebee's used to be, but I feel like it's fallen off in quality. And then I always end up there on... trivia night, but I'm tired. The show's over. I'm tired. I don't feel like playing trivia. And then you're in someone else's trivia game and, you know. But an Olive Garden, because I asked somebody once, do you guys have a Longhorn? And the guy goes, no, we have Olive Garden. Okay, not the same. It has not, one has nothing to do with the other. It's not a trade-off. Not at all. So there's all of our little products. Let me get that out of our way. And then a few termite items that arrived in the mail. This one made me laugh. It's funny. Mama Termite. This person wrote, this is Denise. She said, she sent me, it's a Bucky's shot glass. And I got to say, I've never seen these. Now I'm going to have to get one for my friend Kathy.
Louder.
Who I know it's loud. I can't help it. God damn. Wow. There. How about that? Look, it's got the, it's got Bucky right here.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, hanging out at Bucky's. Kathy won't listen to the podcast. I'll get her one for Christmas. She loves that little guy. But this Denise wrote, I wanted to get this to you now because I'm relocating from batshit crazy Texas to finish up my life in California, and I won't be able to drop in Bucky's anymore to see what fun something I can pick up. Texas, and then she talks about politics. I won't get it. It's time for her to exit, though. 3 weeks shy, 65 and too old for draconian noise. Rawr! All right, Denise, you go for it. California's very expensive, though.
Yeah.
Really expensive. Mm-hmm. Just saying. Texas is cheaper.
You never actually go to the beach.
No. Well, a lot of people think they'll go to the beach, but I did because I lived at the beach for 10 years. I lived in Hermosa Beach with all of us comedians lived on one street, and there was a comedy club, and we used to eat there for free. So our lives were perfect. Absolutely perfect for a decade. So thank you for that. Then this is from someone named Debbie. That's a funny card. And there's a shirt that says "Live Fast, Eat Trash," and there's a giant picture of a bear. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I don't know.
That's a raccoon.
Is it a raccoon?
Yeah.
I thought it was a bear.
No.
Yeah, you're right. It's a raccoon.
Wow.
Oh, because they eat trash. Well, bears eat trash too. God dang. But even then she said that this is a sip clip. You can put this on anything, and then it holds the beer, which I really need this in the fishing boat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's nowhere really good to set. So that's actually a very practical termite gift that I say thank you for.
Nice.
We'll put that over. And then I'm going to have to get this framed. It's the Sound of Music, the album.
Oh, wow.
I know. And it's got all this stuff on the back. I didn't even know. And then look at this Phase 4 stereo. What?
Yeah.
So that was kind of crazy. This thing is old. I think I might frame it.
It's pretty cool.
It's Do Re Mi, The Sound of Music, 16 going in 17, finale, Climb Every Mountain, My Favorite Things, The Lonely Goatard. That is the only thing I hated in Sound of Music. Yeah. I don't like puppets. It was a puppet show. I don't like puppets.
No.
I mean, back then, she didn't have a choice. What else are you going to do with all these goddamn kids? You got to entertain them.
Plus, but they were really into it for teenagers.
I would have, well, the two older ones, yeah.
Come on,
they're in Austria, and they got nothing else to do. It's cold all winter. What do you think you're going to do out there? This is a note from Wendy. Wendy, she sent me this little bracelet backstage. It's adorable. I said, this bracelet was hand-crocheted by a skilled artisan in the Kathmandu Valley of Nepal. Your purchase empowers women to rise above poverty. Isn't that nice?
That's
nice. I'll wear it on stage. So thank you for that. Another little card. I think this came with Guinness backstage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This person, Kelly, the Guinness backstage went to a good cause. Because the cause is me. And it was wonderful. And thank you. So that's it. That's the termite business. I have some birthday cards and stuff. Thank you for those. That was fun to get too. What's really concerning is some years all I've gotten as a birthday card is from casinos. And I'm like, maybe you have a gambling problem. If that's they sure should know it's your birthday. It's your birthday. Okay. Well, as far as the Queen news goes here, folks, not a lot going on except Stevie's song with Elton John.
Oh,
yeah.
It's so bad.
It's not their best effort.
No.
I mean, I don't think Stevie's listening, but I didn't even, will you look up and see who wrote it? If he wrote it or she wrote it. Sounds like him. It's okay. I don't know. I was just hoping for something a little more spunky, shall we say. Everybody else has been quiet. Even Cher's been quiet. Shaka always quiet. Tanya. Tanya Tucker's not back out there yet, so quiet, all quiet. All right. What are we watching? Because sometimes I forget this before I get into updates. On HBO Max, the craziest thing, it's called The Way Down. And here's what's crazy. Because I have a place in Tennessee on Old Hickory Lake. And I remember the day there's a lake, because Old Hickory's by the airport, and there's another one called Percy Priest Lake by the airport. And I remembered when they said a plane went down in the lake. I feel like Percy Priest, for whatever reason, there's always people drowning over there.
Yeah.
Like, not so much over at this lake, at the Old Hickory. But I remember a small plane went down with like five people in it, and everybody was dead. And then they said, oh, this lady is... she's the founder of this church, and then other people use the word cult, and whatever. There's a show on HBO Max called The Way Down, W-A-Y, and it's about this church, which is, wow. It's in Nashville, and so there's going to be three episodes now. I've seen two, but the other two episodes aren't coming out till 2022, which is kind of a drag.
Yeah.
I don't know why they did that. But wow, is it, she convinced women, I don't know about men too, but I only saw women, that if, this isn't the way she said it, but this is the way I interpret it. If you're fat, Jesus and God won't like you. Yep, because you're a reflection of them. And, you know, You gotta show that your body's a temple and you gotta behave. So then she created all this diet stuff. Nobody ever mentions in this whole show. Every time I looked at her, I thought, well, that lady's anorexic. Like, you could see her bones on her spine. But not never even was addressed, like, maybe she has an eating disorder that she's passing on unsuccessfully to the chubbies, because some of them would lose weight. And then I've never seen anybody do religion and dieting. Like, that was a new one on me. Like, hey, I'm going to teach you every time you want to eat, you're supposed to get down on your knees, I guess not facing the refrigerator,
right,
and pray. Because then God will deal with it. Like, you got to watch it. If you're into, you know, I like cult things, and all right, we'll call it a church. Call it religion.
Can we talk about her hair?
Her hair. Well, what's the old Southern thing? The higher it is, the closer to Jesus. Tase it. But her hair, I mean, I thought it was a joke when I saw the initial pictures when she was killed in the plane crash. I was like, this is Photoshopped, right? Like, nobody, right, that's a parody of this lady's hair. No, that was, but see, I think she was so thin that she thought giant hair would then.
She looks like a bobblehead.
Well, she did look like a bobblehead, but And I don't, how much was she spending a week on hairspray? Anybody? It had to be at least $100.
Yeah.
So that is something I would highly recommend. I'm still, Succession is up and rolling, and Brian Cox is just better than ever. He's so good at being mean, and then he'll just be like, what did I do? Like a dog that goes into a frenzy and attacks something, and then goes, oh, I didn't do anything. What are you guys so mad about? And then I watched some sports. So I watched the little Braves and, Yeah, beat the Dodgers. And I didn't see much of the American League one, but I know it's Houston. But then I loved Altuve, but then I don't know. They were cheating.
Yeah.
And I don't know about all that. Trying to focus more on my fantasy football. I think this might be the week that I go into the middle. Yep. And I won second place in the family pick'em pool. Yep.
Onwards and upwards
is right. Let me see on my thing. It's terrible. I'm only 2-4 this year.
Well, but horrible.
It's horrible. It is. But so is Lewis. Mr. Lewis Black, 2-4.
Terrible.
We are tied. And I already have more points than him this. And I'm going to win mine tonight.
Really?
Yep. Okay.
Where's Ron?
Ron's terrible. He's like 1-5. He forgot. You know, he's got people on buys and he forgets to take them out. And then he's just got half a team. And then he goes, why did I lose so badly? And I'm like, well, I told you what to do. And you know what? I'm not your mother. I'm not your coach. I'm not your mentor. I am nothing. Okay. That's my what to watch. I'm still listening to the Murdaugh Murders and the Elizabeth Holmes one when I'm in the car, the Holmes one, the Theranos one, that was really good. And that's it. So it's time for what? Update!
Yeah!
Oh, this is so exciting. Bitcoin topped 60,000 for the first time in 6 months as traders bet on EFT approval. Boom, and I will tell you right now, it is at 62,766. Ethereum, my favorite, 4,100. Now, I'm not going to go deep into it. I'm done explaining to drunks in bars my feelings on Bitcoin. Do it if you want. Don't do it if you don't want. One of my favorite lines in all of that I've ever read a famous person quote, they asked Elaine Stritch, what's the most annoying thing about your career? And she said, it has to be explaining to drunks in bars that I'm not Dolly. From Hello Dolly, right? But what was crazy to me is Elaine Stritch didn't seem like a bar lady. Like, I mean, maybe cocktails, but like, how are you around so many drunks so often that has become the bane of your existence? I know why I am, because I go to shitty lake bars and hang out with, you know, people like that. Yeah. A lot of dive bars, yeah. Bitcoin climbed up to over 60,000, pushing the digital coin further towards an all-time high. Traders speculated the U.S. regulators would clear the first Bitcoin futures exchange traded fund. Boom! It's coming. The Securities and Exchange Commission is set to allow the first U.S. Bitcoin futures exchange traded funds to start trading next week, a landmark victory for a cryptocurrency industry that has long sought permissions from Wall Street's top regulator, according to a person familiar with the matter. Specifically, the person said that the SEC isn't likely to block the EFTs proposed by ProShares and Invesco, which are based on futures contracts and were filed under mutual fund guidelines that the SEC chairman, Gary Gensler, thinks offer investors significant protection. So this is just great. If you're a Bitcoiner, there's just sometimes people forget and don't check their little crypto wallets. And I know there's people that say all the mining is bad. They're trying to figure out how to make it less energy sucking. So, you know, they're aware of it. Everybody's working on it.
Boom.
Boom. Update. Oh, I love it. Mark Zuckerberg is having a horrible year.
Woo-hoo!
Yes, I can't. The facial book is reportedly, my neighbor actually kept saying that.
On
the facial book, I'm like, okay, Doug, it's not that, but I'll do it. The facial book is reportedly changing its name. What? It's happening this week, so they say. Yeah. I'd like them to call it I'm Full of Shit. And that way, when people say something ridiculous and I go, where'd you read that? They can go, I'm full of shit. And then I'll know it was Facebook, because I think half the shit on there is just a bunch of shit.
God.
Facebook is rebranding and changing its company's name as soon as next week, according to The Verge. Apparently, the social media giant will have a new name that will reflect its focus on creating a metaverse. Now, I have Googled metaverse like 10 times, and I still don't understand. We all just live in a digital world, is all I can gather. It sounds absolutely horrendous. if you're not a nerd. Right. But I don't know, maybe the nerd people are... I even got one of those things, and I got it for Lewis for Christmas one year, where you, what do you put the goggles on and you can see weird shit.
Yeah. Samsung did it.
Samsung, yeah. But I didn't even understand how to operate it. It's like, it's literally in the bottom of my kitchen drawer.
Oculus,
yeah, mm-hmm. That has pots and pans. I've got, that's where I put it, and it's still there. Well, I thought maybe, I don't know, my mom might want it. It's also possibly connected to its unreleased social virtual reality world called Horizons World. The social network itself will likely retain the Facebook branding and will be under a new parent company name along with Instagram, WhatsApp. I've never used WhatsApp. I don't even know what it is. I mean, I know, kind of, but I don't use it. And Oculus. That would be similar to what Google did when it put its various projects and divisions along with itself under its parent company, Alphabet. Yep, the name change is a closely guarded secret at the moment, and not even all senior leaders have knowledge about it. Mark Zuckerberg has long talked about wanting to make Facebook a metaverse company. Boy, it has been taking steps towards that goal. Earlier this year, Facebook formed a team dedicated to building a metaverse, and just a few days ago, it talked about adding 10,000 highly skilled jobs across the European Union over the next 5 years to build its virtual and augmented reality experiences. It also released the Ray-Ban Stories augmented reality smart glasses in September. Did anybody buy those?
No.
I didn't. I don't know one person that did. I don't think so. Anyway, I've got more next week, too, on Zuckerberg, because there's a whole bunch, but it's more of a, it's an in-depth thing, and I thought that would be too much because we had it. I just want to read you the definition of metaverse and tell me if this even makes any sense, because okay. I don't get it. What is the definition of metaverse?
Here's the definition.
A virtual reality space in which users can interact with a computer-generated environment and other users.
Right.
I don't get it. What do I...
It means they're not actually friends.
What do I do?
They're not real friends. They're friends through the computer. They're interacting.
It's a fictional universe.
Right.
It's fictional.
Right.
It's made up.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. No, I...
It's for the children.
This is what I'm more interested. Update on Pablo Escobar's cocaine hippos. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot going on. First, I'm going to do the Wikipedia thing to catch up. Some people may not have listened to the podcast way back when I did this story. So this is the facts about Pablo's hippos.
Right.
Hippopotamuses are an introduced species in Colombia. They're not native to there. Four hippos were kept by Pablo in the late 70s, and upon his death in 1993, they were allowed to wander his unattended estate. By 2019, their population has grown to approximately 100 individuals, causing concern they may harm the native flora and fauna in the area. In the late 70s, he kept the four in a private his private residence in Hacienda Napoles, 62 miles east of Medellin, Colombia. They were deemed too difficult to seize and move after his death, so they just left him. Now, some people said he fed people to him.
They eat people.
They absolutely will eat people.
Pigs.
Yeah. By 2000, I mean, they wouldn't, I don't think they would do it as their first option. But if you threw, it'd be like throwing a body into a bunch of alligators. They're going to go for it, you know. By 2007, this is crazy. So the animals had multiplied to 16 and had taken to roaming the area for food in the nearby by some Magdalena River. In early 2014, there were reported to be 40. They're all over the place now. Estimated population in December 2019 was 90 to 120, and their range was now 870 square miles, extending into Santander.
Wow.
Tander, yep. It's expected that they're gonna, it's gonna keep going crazy, up to 200, and their range could be up to 5,200 square miles. This is just not. They can represent a serious threat to fishers and other locals. There have been attacks on humans, but as of 2017, nobody had been killed by the Colombian hippos. In 2020, a hippo chased down and severely, it's not funny, but I just can't imagine a hippo chasing a farmer down.
No.
Yeah. That's what, in 2009, one adult hippo called Pepe.
They all have names.
Pepe was killed by hunters under authorization of local authorities. When a photo of a dead hippo became public, it caused considerable controversy amongst animal rights groups, both within the country and abroad, and further plans of culling ceased. Alternative methods have been considered, but they are unproven or difficult or expensive. In 2017, a wild male hippo was caught, castrated, and released, but it cost about $50,000 to do that. I would not want to. No, but that's what. Okay, so then there's this vet lady. They're trying to sterilize them. Basically spay and neuter a bunch of hippos, okay? When Gina Paolo Cerda studied to become a biologist and veterinarian in Colombia, she never expected to one day be tasked with neutering an invasive herd of hippos that once belonged to Pablo Escobar. When they were smuggled into we know that part. The first time I worked with hippo, I was terrified. These are animals way bigger than me and way bigger than we are used to working with in Colombia. They're massive and territorial animals, so everything is complicated when it comes to working with them. But she, hold on, I had to skip that paragraph. We know, 24 hippos have been sterilized so far. That's it, just 24. But that's pretty good. It's a, they got a vaccine. And it works, but it can cause permanent infertility. Well, so, yeah. I mean, they're not supposed to be here anyway. Let these ones live and die their normal life. And then, obviously, you can't let these hippos keep reproducing, which is what they'll keep doing because they're in paradise. They'll always have water, all the plants they could ever eat, and they can pop out of the river and eat grass with the cows. Rural farmers have grown fond of the wandering herd, charging tourists for a glance at the hippos that bathe on their land. Although one villager was injured last year after getting too close. So then, this is even stranger. A United States court in Ohio has legally recognized the hippos as people.
What?
Yeah, because it's going to protect them. Yeah, I somebody.
A law firm, animals.
God, they can weigh 3,000 pounds.
Yeah,
they're so strong. Do you know what a hippo herd is called? Hippies. No,
hippies?
No, yeah. It's a bloat.
A bloat.
Yes. There's a U.S. charity lobbying for the use of a different contraceptive, which has historic. So they want to. I guess they want the rights. It's very. They want to present evidence on the hippo's behalf from two experts, and they don't like the sterilization process. They want to change it. So the first, I guess, you got to call them people. I don't know.
That's ridiculous.
Well, if the farmers are making money charging people,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Let them keep them. Update! Picasso's paintings, remember the ones they told you about, Las Vegas? Sell for more than $100 million. They had the auction. Apparently they used Leno too, Jay Leno, to help auction stuff off there. I read an article about that. I thought it'd be way more than $100 million.
Yeah.
11 paintings.
Wow.
Uh-huh. For more than $100 million. That's the Sotheby's auction was held on Saturday at Bellagio and Casino, where the works had been on display for years and took place two days before the 140th birthday of the Spanish artist. Boy, I watched that Picasso thing. Is it on Nat Geo with Antonio Banderas? Was so good.
Yep.
Like, I don't know what I think. I don't really think about Antonio Banderas being it, but wow, he was great. And it was a great, boy, you don't really love Picasso though after you watch it. Like, as a human, he was kind of. Well, he wasn't a dick, but he just, yeah, a lot of narcissism going on there. The highest price fetch was by the 1938 painting Femme Auberge Rouge Orange, which depicts Picasso's lover and muse Marie-Thérèse Walter. It sold for $40 million, about $10 million over the estimate. I just think they would have gotten a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a little update on that. This is a psycho update. Update! This is where you just go, where is karma? People always say, oh, you know, just be patient. Karma will come around. Just be patient.
No.
No, sometimes it never does. No. How about we speed it up? That's my idea for a business called Karmagrams. And then I go in and pay somebody and go, look, there's this asshole down the street. And here's what I need to happen. And then they do it. Like, he'll just be walking along and someone will come up and punch him in the face. Not super hard. Just, well, you know, whatever you deserve. And then that person goes, there's your karma. There's your Karmagram. It could be nice things too, though. Maybe... Like, there was a lady in the Green Bay Starbucks, one of the last workers, who was so nice. Like, just so go down to your Karmagram place, go online and say, I'd like to send her a pizza for no reason. Nice. Yeah. You could go both ways. Yeah. You could have people punched in the face or send them a pizza.
Punched in the face.
This is where, though, I do not believe all the time that karma does it. This is so fucked up. The disgraced and ousted former WeWork CEO partied. Uh-huh. Remember him? Yeah. Newman. Uh-huh. Adam Newman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Partied in New York yesterday with 100 of his earliest WeWork employees after the company made its public market debut Thursday with a value of $9 billion, just 2 years after the shared office space company nearly went bankrupt under his leadership.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, the dude's still a billionaire. Mm-hmm. He's still partying his ass off. He lost his billionaire status after WeWork value plummeted following the first attempt to go public, remember that disaster,
right,
and is now worth an estimated $2.3 billion. That's just a fraction of the more than $4 billion he had at WeWork's peak, but still enough to make him a billionaire since the first time since 2019. And then he ran away, too. He ran off to Israel or somewhere to go hide. He's a big chicken shit.
Yeah.
He only comes out when it's party time. Yeah, I'd like to send this guy a Karmagram. He's so mean to the employees. And which 100 of the earliest employees, after he has treated you like shit over and over and over, why would you still show back up here?
Right.
Come on. Have a little... come on.
It's a cult.
Well, they do like it. He celebrated in New York, serving champagne to guests and wearing a t-shirt that read, Student for Life.
Oh, fuck off.
I know. It's like they make shit up every day when they wake up.
Right.
Learner. Curious always. Certain never. I could come up with 50 of them while having coffee.
Certain never.
Yeah. Certainty.
Student for life.
It's, yeah.
Wow.
The company's $9 billion valuation with shares opening at 11. Shares opened at $11.28. I checked today. They're at 12 something. So represents a market drop from the $47 billion the company reportedly reached in 2019 when it attempted to go public. But that attempt blew up in spectacular fashion in August of that year, resulting in Adam Newman's ousting after investors grew weary of the eccentric CEO's exorbitant spending and increasing erratic behavior. Yeah. He didn't work. He's playing fucking games. He has a hot tub in his office. He's got...
He should have said.
Yeah, but listen.
You work.
Right. You work, me watch.
You work, me watch.
You are. On Thursday, he hosted a party at New York City's Standard Hotel as the shares became trading, inviting more than 100 people to the booze-soaked bonanza. I'm feeling amazing, Newman told a New York Post reporter outside the swanky hotel as he gathered a crowd of attendees and press at a bar situated at the swanky hotel in New York's meatpacking district as WeWork shares soared by as much as 11%. They enjoyed champagne as early as 9 a.m. His t-shirt, it was a black t-shirt that said it. In addition to his stake in the company, he was able to hold on to nearly 20 million WeWork partnership profits interest units. I just don't know. I don't know. Like, we were talking about, like, downtown Minneapolis, there's a lot of office space for rent. Like, tons of it. First of all, I don't think you're going to get the millennials to agree to the old office job deal. You know, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, 9 to 5, drive downtown, pay for parking.
Right.
I don't know. The WeWork thing to me, I don't know. I wouldn't buy stock in it because I think it's going to fall through. Even the pandemic, nobody's going. Everybody's figured out how to work from home that wanted to or needed to.
Right.
So why do I need to rent a space? Why can't we just meet at Starbucks like 90% of the country's doing whenever they want to go meet somebody?
Right.
And this is a slew of employees came forward to reveal that they were subjected to a cult-like environment while working at WeWork. Yeah, that's why you got to go watch the documentary.
Uh-huh.
Well, you guys know the rest of the story, but I don't know. Now, what do we know? I'm not a financial advisor.
Nope.
I'm a ladies with a Bucky shot glass and a Packer Pilsner. But I would advise against the WeWork shares. Because I don't think, as I call them, the children. I mean, and who would want to agree to it? My generation just agreed to anything. Because we were told to. And then we'd bitch about it, but we'd still do it. Well, I don't really feel like I'm down. I mean, I'll do it, but, you know. They just won't. So good for them. Update! This is when they go too far, though. You're not going to like this, Paddles. I have two updates about the Elizabeth Holmes trial. It's going on to December. You've got another month. Okay, I never pronounce this right.
No.
I say Sudoku. It's not. It's Sudoku. How do you say it? The game.
No.
Yes. You don't pronounce it. No.
Sudoku.
No, it's a U at the end. Sudoku. 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 That's right. Yeah. Third juror dismissed in the Elizabeth Holmes trial after the found playing Sudoku. However, what I said it.
Sudoku.
She admitted it.
That's ridiculous.
Listen to this. A popular puzzle game just got third juror in the Elizabeth Holmes trial dismissed after she admitted to playing it during testimony to keep her focused.
Yeah.
That's what I would say about Tetris if I had a Game Boy. No. This is keeping me focused.
I don't blame her.
Kathleen, were you doing your fantasy football team during the trial? I was. That's how I focused. I need a different running back. It was important. According to a court transcript, the juror kept the Sudoku, whatever, in her court-issued notebook and played it for around 7 to 10 days of testimony. Were you playing it? The judge asked while in chambers. That's what I love about young people, too. She's like, it doesn't interfere with me listening. Playing the game. I'm very fidgety, so I need to do something with my hands. So at home, I'll crochet while I'm watching and listening to TV. The shakeup leaves only two alternates in a trial that's expected to last till December. Has this detracted you from listening? No. Have you been able to follow and retain everything that's going on in the courtroom?
No.
Oh, yeah, she said. Definitely. There, an alternate juror was selected to join the main bench. The impaneled jury deciding the fate of Holmes consists of 8 men and 4 women.
Yeah.
I think if I was her, I'd want more women. I don't know.
She tricked men.
Well, yeah.
She tricked.
She's not, you know what though? The men aren't going to buy. They're not going to believe her bullshit that she was just doing everything that guy, Sonny Bolwani, said.
Exactly.
No,
it wasn't. They'll never get that.
Here's another thing. Ex Theranos project manager testifies that Elizabeth Holmes told him to conceal parts of the testing lab. If you guys don't listen to this podcast enough, when I do this voice, I'm doing Elizabeth Holmes. No. And she has
No.
Sometimes she like throws in a Northern Midwest accent for fucking reasons I have no idea.
Totally.
Were you or were you not influenced by him?
No.
Bizarre. Goddamn crazy person. Daniel Edlin, a former Theranos project manager who was friends with Elizabeth Holmes' brother, testified on Friday that Holmes told him to conceal parts of the company's lab to potential investors and other important visitors. This is what's so crazy about this to me. They're having people come in there, and then they're just hiding shit, stuff. It's like when I was a kid, my mom would say, get ready, we're having company. I just shoved everything under my bed. Yeah. Your room clean? It's fucking great, Mom. Get up there. You're not going to believe it. He told jurors in the Elizabeth Holmes criminal trial that during tours at Theranos, visitors would be shown a demo room with the company's mini lab, its blood testing technology. They decided where the guests would go, so they wouldn't really take them on a tour. This is just a bullshit, we'll show you what you want to. You're not seeing it all. I recall in advance of the tour, there would be certain areas of the lab that were hidden by a partition. Oftentimes, it was the areas where the Theranos devices were to make sure whoever was on the tour couldn't see him.
Wow.
He said he left Theranos to attend business school, blah, 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 blah. I no longer wanted. That's what a lot of these people did quit, though. A lot of these people put their money where their mouths are.
Yeah.
They must be easy for them to get jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Easier than me. Right.
Yeah.
Because, well, they're smart. They're smarty pants.
Right.
Good for them. But he, like, they quit. I saw a moral value in these people where they would just go, no, this is too dangerous. This is people's blood testing. Like, you can't be bullshitting. And they would actually quit.
No.
I mean, you can't be. So even the tours she was taking people on were complete bullshit.
Just walls that say, don't look behind
us. Yeah. Look over here.
Nothing
look over here.
Nothing to
No, our blood testing machines, we've rented them out this week. They're not here. It's so juvenile, too. Okay, this is some crazy news. Okay. I was very surprised by this little story. How many of you termites have blue eyes?
I do.
Paddles does. Uh-huh. I have green eyes. Uh-huh. But a lot of people in my family have blue. Uh-huh. I don't know why I got green. And please don't anyone try to explain to me. I can't understand that kind of science. But here's what I can understand. If you have blue eyes, you have a common ancestor, all of you termites, that lived 6 to 10,000 years ago. So if you're going to get in a rage road rage or some shit, look in their eyes and make sure it's not a relative. If they got blue eyes, you're from one common ancestor. One may think the findings in the news of the study are new, but they were first discovered back in 2008 when a team of researchers from the University of Copenhagen studied and tracked down the mutation. Human beings differ from one another by their skin tone, hair color, and height, but one varying characteristic that stands out from the rest is eye color. The color of the eye is determined by the pigmentation of the eye's iris. In humans, pigmentation of the iris varies from light brown to black. However, the appearance of blue eyes results from a genetic mutation. Mm-hmm. Have you ever wondered why blue eyes are more rare than brown? Well, there's a scientific study that tells us the reason why. Studies found people with blue eyes shared a common ancestor who lived between 6 and 10,000 years ago. This may be a tad hard to believe, but scientists have revealed the genetic mutation came from a singular human being who lived thousands of years ago. Wow. One may think that what's the gene that determines the level of brown pigment in the human eye? It's called OCA2. Interesting, all blue-eyed people have the same mutation. The reason why researchers concluded that they're related to one single ancestor. Originally, we all had brown eyes, but a genetic mutation, my eye was itching. Speaking of eyes, affected the OCA2 gene in our chromosomes, resulted in the creation of a switch, which literally turned off the ability to produce brown eyes. Blue-eyed people are most common in Eastern Europe. Really? I would think Western Europe too, right? Yeah. It's believed the mutation spread when people migrated from Africa to Europe. So that's it. So even if there's somebody at work that you hate, if they have blue eyes, you're related.
Sister.
Sister. Yeah. All right, this is completely bizarre to me. Phil Collins. Everybody remember Phil? Drummer, Genesis. He's been having some health problems, too. He's been in the news a lot about that. Like, he can't drum anymore and stuff. But I don't know what he's doing on tour with them. Maybe he's just singing. I don't know.
He has to show up.
This is crazy. Phil Collins, for the strangest reasons ever, has, like, over 400 artifacts from the Alamo.
What? Say that again?
What? What? Well, it's strange to me because he's British. Right. Like, I don't care. I don't know. It'd be like me collecting all of William Wallace's things from Scotland. Like, when Phil Collins donated his trove of Alamo-related artifacts to Texas 7 years, his only major stipulation was that the state create a museum for the famed mission for to display, display it by 2021. Now, let me tell you as a little road person, every time I go to San Antonio, I go to the Alamo. I love it.
Awesome.
It is awesome, and I'm a history freak. The chapel in there, there's a movie thing in the back, but it's short and sweet. Like, there's so much cool shit. Mm-hmm. And I don't even remember if they charge you.
Yeah.
Do they? I couldn't.
It's not very much.
I think you can go walk around in there for nothing, though. I think if you want to go in certain, like, the chapel or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, highly recommend the Alamo. I could spend hours there. I'm usually run out by the other comedian. Okay, have you seen enough? I'm like, God damn. I should go alone. Should never take the opener with me. Unless they're a history freak. The state agreed, and they broke ground on the space this summer. But now Texans differ on whether the museum anchored by the collection donated by Mr. Collins, should be focused on celebrating the small group of leaders who played key roles or reflect a broader, more complicated tale. Now, here's what I don't get with everybody people and hollering, screaming about. What are we going to teach people? You know, you're going to tell them this story, you're going to tell them that story. Tell them the whole goddamn story.
Right, all of it.
What? Yes, yes. All of it.
Right.
Not just, oh, Christopher Columbus came and, you know, everything was great. Like, what?
No,
there were people here. Who was here? Tell me who was. Just so the whole Alamo, tell the whole story.
Uh-huh.
How far back do you go? Till it doesn't matter anymore. That's how far back we go.
Right.
And then when the kids go on a field trip, they can learn the whole story. I always think the people that only want to tell one side of the story, it's because you don't like that other side, the reflection on you. Yeah, or somebody you know.
Totally.
Another blue-eyed devil, probably. That's you. I'm a green-eyed leprechaun.
Sometimes.
Blue-eyed devil. That's what I'm going to start. Yeah. So now they're arguing about that. Some local activists like George and Ramon believe the Alamo Museum should more deeply explore the contributions of Texas of Mexican descent, or Tejanos, as well as Native Americans and Black indentured and enslaved people. Some politicians, like Republican Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, not the Dan Patrick in Spores, are open to broadening the museum, so as long as the focus remains on the battle itself and its leaders like Davy Crockett, others are digging in against what they believe is an incorrect rewriting of history. It's turned into a circus, said this one guy who worked at the Alamo Library.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. The Alamo Mission Fort is famous because a small band of settlers and frontiersmen, including Davy Crockett, died there fighting a larger Mexican army in a bid for Texan independence. Mr. Collins's gift includes hundreds of items related to that battle, from musket balls evacuated to documents signed by Crockett. This disagreement over the exhibits reflects arguments elsewhere as museums and historic sites around the country grapple with their histories, rethink exhibit narratives, and scrutinize donors' fortunes and check the diversity of their management.
Wow.
Yeah. Hollywood regularly lionizes characters like Davy Crockett, notably portrayed by John Wayne in 1960. I never saw that.
Nope.
I don't think I've ever seen a movie about the Alamo. I'm going to go find one. Maybe there's a new one. But before the pandemic, Texas is, it's their number one attraction. They call it the landmark. I call it a landmark, maybe not like Six Flags or something. It attracted 1.6 million visitors every year. Yeah. Well, not every year, but last year they did. The Alamo has such a mythical status, and everyone thinks they know its stories, but maybe they really only know about one day or a few moments. The devotion is almost religious. Yeah, because I looked up, it's so weird that it's surrounded by all these modern buildings. How did they keep it?
Yeah.
And it was a group of women that really...
Blue-eyed women.
Blue-eyed devils that they kept it in place for a long time. And really, I forget if they were like religious or... I forgot that part. But it's just a lot of Phil Collins. I just think it's so funny that he would be, he said that he was in love with Davy Crockett.
It was the Daughters of the Republic of Texas.
The Daughters of the Republic of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good for them for saving it.
Yeah.
So I can go enjoy it when I'm down there. It's so, it's one of the very few like battle things where the whole structure's kind of still there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The state fired them and then they won.
They won the right to keep it, yeah, because they were going to wreck it. Somebody was going to wreck it. The city or the state, I don't remember who.
Yeah.
This is back like in the 60s, though, right?
No.
Or some.
This is in 2018, the state fired them and they said, fuck you.
Speaking of history, everybody wants to argue about Columbus Day, you know? Should we tell the story? Well, we don't even have to have that argument anymore.
Okay.
Because guess what we're going to do with that blue-eyed devil? We're going to replace him with a different blue-eyed devil, the Vikings. There is now proof, absolute definitive proof, that the Vikings were here 470 years before Columbus.
What?
Yep. Ancient solar storm pinpoints Viking settlement in early Americas exactly 1,000 years ago. An analysis of wood from Longs-O-Meadows zeroes in on a cosmic event to reveal that the European seafarers were felling trees in Newfoundland in the year 1021. So they were already in Canada.
Yep.
The Vikings were here. So this whole crap about you know, Columbus discovering North America. Nay, nay, as John Panette would say, the blue-eyed devils beat you by 500 years. Wow. So it should be Viking Day, not Columbus Day. But then you have to have the argument, were the Vikings good or the Vikings bad?
Probably bad.
Both.
Just spirited.
Spirited.
Yeah.
Drunk, spirited, large murderers. They did rape and pillage a lot. But, you know, job's got to get done. Now that the solar event has proved a critical tool in pinpointing an exact year the Vikings were present in the Americas. I've seen on Nat Geo, they are digging up a settlement up there, and it's for reals. And yeah, in Newfoundland. They, since the discovery of a Viking settlement at Lans, French way, L'ANSE, Aux Meadows in Canada's Newfoundland more than 50 years ago, most scholars accepted that Viking sailors who explored the seas beginning in the late 700s to around 1100. That was their heyday. Uh-huh. Yeah, they really got a lot of shit done. And then it kind of went sideways. They were the first Europeans to reach the Americas. The timing of the Vikings' foray to what they called Vinland, however, remained unclear. Based on artifact finds, radiocarbon dating, and Viking sagas, the settlement was thought to have briefly thrived somewhere between the year 990 and 1050. Now, thanks to the cosmic storm in 993, researchers can assuredly say that the Vikings were working away at their tiny outposts in the North Atlantic exactly 1,000 years ago in the year 1021. While the new, more precise date will not radically alter our current understanding of the Vikings, it confirms what archaeologists and previous evidence have suggested. I'm really happy to see such a paper. 20 years ago, we wouldn't have been able to get such data. So there you go. Wow. People want to call it Columbus Day. I'm calling it Ragnar Day. Right?
Yeah.
Ragnar Lochnar. No, what was the blue-eyed devil name? Ragnar. Vikings. That was one of my favorite shows of all time.
It's also Canadian Thanksgiving.
What is? Columbus Day?
Yeah, the same day.
The same date?
Day.
Oh, yeah. Well, the problem with, like, Columbus Day and some of the holidays, they're half-assed. Yeah. You know, like, the bank's closed, or the stock market might be closed, but everything else is open, so you don't really, I don't know. Here's something that'll really make me want to just probably vomit every day if I did it. Royal Caribbean announces World Cruise of World Cruises scheduled to have 150 destinations. Oh, now, we had talked about this a little bit before, but they've come out with all the details. 274 nights on a cruise ship. By day four, I would hurl myself into open waters. And I put that on Twitter, and somebody said, why day four?
Right.
Well, because day one, you're showered with free liquor.
Yeah.
Now I'm in for that.
Right.
You know, here's your punch and your hoop-de-ha. And then day two, you're a little hungover, a little sleepy-tie-tie because you had to travel all the way to Miami to get on your ship, wherever you came from. So, you know. And then day three, I would go around the ship and see everything. And then day four, I'd be like, I'm finished now.
Give me a dinghy.
Yeah, do not. I need a lifeboat and a life jacket and a bottle of Fiji water. If you have it, I'm out of here. Oh, I couldn't do it.
Some cheese curds.
Royal Caribbean announced Wednesday that its Serenade of the Seas ship will embark on what the line is calling the longest and most comprehensive world cruise scheduled to depart in 2023. Michael Bailey, president and CEO of Royal Caribbean International, said in the release that the cruise, dubbed the Ultimate World Cruise, will be the World Cruise of World Cruises. You could have done better than that.
Yeah. That's
amazing. How much time did I give the creative team? And you came back with, I know, it's going to be the World Cruise of World Cruises.
Okay.
No.
No.
Back to the drawing board.
No.
No, that is lame.
Terrible.
Yeah. The round-trip voyage spanning 9 months will commence on December 10th, 2023, sailing from Miami. The itinerary includes visits to all seven continents, stopping at more than 150 destinations across 65 countries. Oh, my God.
Wow.
The sailing will wrap up on September 10th, 2024. Rates for the cruise start at $61,000 per person.
Wow.
Yeah, but...
Well,
yeah, but not really cheaper than rent. I mean, if your rent's even $3,000,
yeah,
Ready? I'll do it. 3 times 12 be 36,000. But you got to have food and all that. This they're going to do it. I can't do math. Food math? No. I'm going to do it as a project for next week.
Okay.
Passengers will also have the option to book segments of the cruise separately in case they're not available for the full experience. You can sail on any 4 expedition cruises within the larger cruising, including Round the Horn, the Americas and the Antarctica Expedition, Wonders of the Asia and Pacific, Middle Eastern Treasures and Marvels, and then Capitals of Culture. I would do that one. I wouldn't do any of them. I wouldn't. No. Here's its highlighted stops. Uh-huh. You ready? Casablanca. Morocco. Shimizu, Japan.
Shimizu.
There's a town in Greenland I can't say. Kwa Kortog. Along with visits to Machu Picchu in Peru and the Taj Mahal in India. Now, are they going to really give you time to go up to Machu Picchu, though? No. I doubt it. How many old people are going to die on that ledge?
9.
Yep. Now more than ever, people have resolved to travel the world and make up for lost time. Royal Caribbean is making that a reality with the ultimate vacation that welcomes those seeking adventure and exploration to taste, dance, and dream with us around the world. To travelers asking themselves where they should go next, I would say, to the exit. Where
right.
do I get off this goddamn petri dish? Like, and Lewis always says, well, you know, it's a floating petri dish. Imagine that disease, blah, blah, blah. But he likes it. But I wouldn't even think about, I mean, maybe because of the pandemic I would, but I don't really think about health things first.
No.
I would just know that it's not for me. I get why people like it. I do get it. But everything to me is just off. I'd rather just go myself on my own. So anyway, if you're a cruiser, though, and I know some people, that's their thing. The people next to me on the one that I did with Lewis that I was forced to do, I didn't go on my own accord, they were from Wisconsin, and they were, they cruised, 47 times.
Wow.
Just a guy, a lady, his wife, or a man and his wife. They loved it.
Wow.
I'm like, wow. Yeah, I don't know about all that. All right. This one made me laugh, but it's not funny, but it's funny.
Okay.
I don't know who's been keeping up with, there's some zebras loose in Maryland.
Nobody has been keeping up with that. Nobody has.
I have. Three zebras have been frolicking through the lush grassy knolls of Prince George's County, Maryland since the end of August. Been going on a while.
What?
Almost 2 months.
Come on.
They've become internet sensations. Local celebrity sightings are due to their deft evasion of Prince George's Animal Service Division. Uh-huh. A meme of freedom.
What?
Yeah. They've also welcomed, they're a welcome reprieve from the horrible events that often dominate the news cycle. So in my new role as Slate Zebra Correspondent, I've decided to put out everything we know about the beautiful creatures in one place. This is written by Julia Craven from Slate. Why are there zebras running around Maryland? On August 31st, 3 zebras escaped from an 80-acre farm owned by Jerry Holly in Upper Marlboro, a city that is about 21 miles from the White House. Huh. It's not that close. That's not that far. I mean, they could get down to D.C. These 3 were a part of a zeal of 30 zebras.
A zeal.
At first, it was believed that 5 escaped, a trio and a duo, but it turned out to be wrong.
Zeal.
What is a group of zebras called?
A zeal.
Or a dazzle.
Zebra.
I would call them a zazzle. Right? Take zeal and dazzle and make it a zazzle of zebras. Can people own can you own zebras in Maryland? Yes. You can own wild animals if you have the proper permits. There is a, they'll do just fine during the summer, spring, and the fall in the sense that they're grazers. There's plenty of grass in Prince George's County. They should be able to survive because all the conditions are out there in terms of food and water, and there's no lions or hyenas to eat them. What wolves and foxes there are probably won't harm the adults. There is a chance, however, that they'll migrate south to avoid heavy snow. I'm not sure how far. That's what a professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at Princeton University told this lady. 2 remain at large. This is sad. As I noted, it was first misreported that 5 zebras escaped. No, it was only 3. And then 1 of the 3 was killed in a snare trap. Snare traps are illegal in 7 counties in Maryland, including Prince George's. So we don't really know what went on there. They believe the zebra was out frolicking. He was out dazzling. He was dazzling. Here's the real kicker. The property where the dead zebra was found is owned by the Girl Scouts.
Come on.
What are you girls doing out there, huh?
Right. Why you got a trap?
Why you got a trap? I'm sure it's not them. There's impersonation accounts on Twitter. The funniest one being at Maryland Zebras. I haven't looked at it yet. They also, the zebras also inspired t-shirts and Halloween costumes. One user posted a video of what appears to be a zebra inside someone's house. I can't confirm this is one of our zebras, but the reaction to it speaks to the zeal of the zebras generating online. So how are you going to catch them? They have to be lured with food, corralled, fenced in, and then put on a truck. You can't chase them because of their fight or flight response, and they'll flee. Or they'll kick and bite if cornered.
Mm-mm. Wow.
You wouldn't think that.
No. I also think hippos are nice.
So that's it. There's still 2 of them out there.
What are hippos called? A bunch of hippos?
What are a bunch of hippos called? A bloat.
A bloat.
I'm like, we just did that. Did I already forget?
A bloat and a dazzle.
It should be a zazzle. I'm telling you. All right, I'm going to save.
Nobody's tracking Maryland hippos.
We're going to save the Pandora Papers. And I know I said I'd talk about the South Dakota money, but I think I want to save that for next week because it's long. But I'm going to tell you this, speaking of my animal news.
We want to learn about the South Dakota money.
I'm going to tell you about the South Dakota money, but I must save it till next week because it's really complicated. And I need to read 2 more articles to really dumb it down. I found 2 more articles because I'm here. Doing the work of the Lord, eating food half the time I don't even like, but I'm also trying to make hard things simple. And isn't it easier at the bar if you go, did you read about it? And somebody goes, yeah, I read it. Oh, what did it say? And then they just dumb it down for you. Okay. I'm a dumber downer.
All right.
I can tell you this, though. I can tell you this. This is fucked up. I mean, I don't know if we need them. I guess we do. Bumblebees are completely gone in 8 states. Yeah, experts call for endangered species listing. The American bumblebee, now there's all kinds of bees, but the bumblebee has completely disappeared from 8 states. It's seen its population plummet to the point where it could be placed under the Endangered Species Act. The bumblebees have, here's where they're disappeared from. Idaho, Maine, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, North Dakota, Oregon, Vermont, and Wyoming. They also have a limited number in New York, Illinois, and 6 other states as well, totaling 16.
Could be migration issues. Those are all cold places.
Oh, Paddles is weighing in. It's a migration issue. There are all cold places. Yeah, what about Minnesota? By the way, I had the greatest walleye sandwich ever. I found it.
Where'd you go?
Glucks. It's hard to say. It's a place down.
Glicks.
No, it's G-L-U-E-K-S.
I think it's Glick.
Glick?
Glick.
Glick. Anyone? One of the most commonly observed bumblebees in the United States, the American bumblebee, has declined by 89% in relative abundance and continues to decline towards extinction due to the disastrous synergistic impacts of threats, including habitat loss, pesticides, disease, climate change, competition with honeybees, and the loss of genetic diversity.
Okay.
That's a lot. The species must move on to the next step, which is undergoing a 12-month status review. This includes an evaluation that is done on what is threatening the species and how to fix it. See, we got to get to the cause here.
Right.
But I don't know how necessary are they. No, I mean, I know everything sets off everything else, so I'd be in favor of trying to save them, I guess. I mean.
That's good of you.
Yeah. But see, that's why I'm not in charge of stuff like this. I'd be like, it's fine.
I hate honey.
They continue to... No, that's not a honeybee. Bumblebees don't make honey. I didn't till I read this. I thought all bees were the same except carpenter bees, which I know drill perfect little goddamn holes because they've done it all over my wood porch.
Yep.
But now I've got my Killer Steve. Killer Steve. He comes over and if I even see one, I'm like, get over here. Yeah, they'll ruin everything. Shingles, they can go through shingles. They can go through anything.
Yeah.
It's amazing. The species continues to struggle in multiple areas of the northeast and northwest regions of the United States, and complete disappearance could soon become a reality for more states without further action. To survive unchecked threats of disease, habitat loss, blah, 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 blah. They serve an important part in the ecosystem because they're very efficient pollinators.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if they do end up on the list, people harming or killing the species could face up to $13,000 in fines. Yeah, but what if one stung me and I smashed it? Now I got to pay $13,000?
Well, no.
Are those even the ones that sting? Or who stings? Honeybees? I don't know. Well, we've all learned a lot on this show today, and I'd like to... I'm just here with the facts that can be had. I can't make sense of them, really, sometimes. All right. This is an important subject. And I always say I don't like to talk about sports so much because I know not everybody likes sports. And then people can get mean about sports, too. Even if I tweet out something like... sports people sometimes are meaner, way meaner than even politics. Like if you dare to tweet out something, but even mine are just dumb, you know, like I'll tweet out, go Cardinals, literally within 5 seconds, fuck you and your arrogant fan base. What? All I said was go Cardinals. Women shouldn't talk about sports. Shut your goddamn mouth, bitch. Oh yeah. It's evil. It's aggressive. So I don't like to. Well, that's good. The termites like it. I haven't gotten any hate because I'm not out here talking about a team per se. So my fantasy team. That includes a lot of people from all around the country. Eight quarterbacks, five tight ends.
Depending on jersey color.
Major League Baseball, though, they're trying to figure out. I think baseball, and I love the Cardinals. And in the summertime, I like having it on, you know, even if it's through Sirius Radio. I used to be able to hear the St. Louis guy if I'm out on the road somewhere. But it's so goddamn slow. 20 years ago, my friend Roger Rittenhouse had a great joke. He said, this is 20 years ago. He goes, if baseball were any slower, it would just be farming. I'm like, yes, yes. But it's because they're allowing it to get slower. And that is, and then my dad... And I ended up doing a bunch of benefit things with Tony La Russa, and he's always been a very nice man to me. But my dad, because Tony would do like the 15, he'd take a pitcher out for every batter, and my dad would just go insane. Like, this is why the game lasts 17 goddamn hours.
Right.
But guess what? We won. Okay. I would call him Tony the Genius. I'm like, well, you know, you think you're making fun of him saying that. And we're winning the World Series, Dad. Just shut your trap. So they're trying to make changes in, like, the smaller leagues first to see minor league teams, AAA, AA, to see if it'll work. This is what they're trying in the Atlantic League. The tweaks have included, this is, okay, this, my friend Bill said, have the game start in the seventh inning. I like that idea too. Mm-hmm. I cannot stand, and then I become obsessed when somebody has tics and repetitive things. Then I was just clearly something wrong with me because then I become obsessed with checking that they did that. Yeah. Like, there's a guy on the Cardinals, Harrison Bader. He plays really well, but when he leaves the batter's box, he undoes each glove. He does this thing. He takes the bat, then he flips the bat. But it's all very methodical, and it takes for fucking ever. This is what they've tried.
Take away all.
What I think they should do is tell him you can't leave the batter's box. No, not unless you gotta go to the bathroom. Like this stepping out of, they wander around the catcher. The catcher's always ready. And the pitchers have their own tweaks and bullshit things. You need to pitch the ball within whatever amount of seconds. And we're putting a goddamn clock on you. You also could do maybe automated balls and strikes like they have tennis on the line. Just beep, beep, beep. Now, I don't know who makes the call safe at home, but that ain't my problem. Here's what they've, this is what they've included to try to make baseball faster. Letting players try to steal first base. I don't even understand that.
Oh, like if there's a wild pitch.
A wild pitch is the only way.
Yeah.
All right. Making the bases bigger and easier to reach. No, you're missing what's taking. It's not, Yachty, Molina is never going to run fast, and it's going to take him 8 years to reach all the bases. But he's wonderful, so we excuse it. Strictly limiting visits to the mound by coaches, I'm in favor of that. There's a lot of that horse shit. Let's go out and visit with Hoopty Hoo because he's going a little cray-cray. Let him be cray-cray by himself. Yeah. Sink or swim, jackass. You're a professional. Nobody gets to come out and give me a pep talk in the middle of my act. You know, Kathleen, I think this was going real well, and then you seem to drift out a little bit. Let's get that focus back on here, huh? 1,500 people would pay good goddamn money to sit here. You're sitting here thinking about, you know, if you want to get your fantasy team, and should you give Lewis one of your quarterbacks? That's not right. Focus. I mean, it really is one of the only jobs where in the middle of it, if you're a professional, somebody comes in and just gives you a pep talk because they see you kind of strictly eliminating the, I like that one. Using automated ball strike. That's what I was saying. They've already, MLB has already adopted some of the changes at the big level. We'll see if they work. Intended, the others will follow. Baseball has a bloat problem. With every season, games take longer and less happens on the field. Yes. Over the past half century, the average length of the MLB game has risen from, get this, 2.5 hours to 3 hours and 15 minutes.
Wow. That's a long time.
The number of balls in play, meanwhile, has dwindled. Hits are near historic low. Strikeouts are at historic highs. In 1980, roughly 1 in 8 trips to the plate ended in a strikeout. This season, the rate was twice of that. Yeah. This makes for long lulls in the action. According to the league, the time between batted balls has reached an average of nearly 4 minutes, up almost a minute from 2 decades. It's a worrisome trend for sports competing for attention with instantly refreshed social media feeds and 8-second viral videos. Yeah. And this, whoever wrote this, I should always give these people credit. I really don't, but half the time I can't see who wrote it.
It's in the show notes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's from Bloomberg Business. You can't, you know what you can blame for all this bullshit?
What?
According to this person. You can blame Moneyball for the stagnation. The stats mongers who took over baseball's front offices over the past 25 years taught teams that they could improve their odds of victory by removing the randomness of action on the field and keeping games between hitters and pitchers as much as possible. Yeah. I swear to God, I think that's why the Cardinals coach just got axed out, because they wanted him to be more of a stats guy and all that algorithm guy, and he's not going to do that.
Right.
At least it seemed like he was not going to do that. Whatever, he's not there anymore.
He left.
Yeah. According to this school of thought, the most desirable outcomes at an at-bat are a home run, a walk, or depending on whose side you're on, a strikeout.
Right.
But smarter baseball teams turn out to be less fun. A glorified game of catch, punctuated by the occasional jog around the bases. Fielders stand around. Baseballers don't slide. They stroll. MLB knows viewers find this boring. Its own survey shows that the fans want to see triples and steals, both of which about as uncommon as they've been in a generation. What comes out of the research is that fans want more baseball in the baseball game. Yes, I remember I was lucky enough to get two tickets to the World Series in 2011, and we played Boston, and we lost. But I think it was 2-0, and it was also freezing, so you really didn't want your beer as much, which is always a sad thing, where I'm like, it's too cold for my beer. But it was so fucking boring. The most exciting thing is when the Clydesdales come out of center field, because we only do that for playoffs in the World Series, and they have a beer wagon, and then they go around the stadium, and we all sing our song. Here comes the king, here comes the big. I mean, I just love the horses anyway. I could watch that for 3 hours. Just bring the ponies around. Just fucking keep going. And then I actually would have had more fun. Let them off leash. Let the Clydesdales off leash and let them go run around the stadium. That'd be wonderful. But, I mean, you just go, like, at least with football or hockey, it never stops. The action never stops. Football, there's pauses, but boy, when it goes off, there's always something to look at.
Yeah.
You're never bored. I'm never, even if it's 34-0, I'm still watching what's happening, because people do crazy shit in football in a great way. The league's executive vice president of baseball operation, he's a 36-year-old former management consultant. Well, part of your problem, is heading up efforts to improve the quality of the product. His working group includes former outfielders Raul Ibanez and former general managers Michael Hill and Theo Epstein, himself arguably the greatest practitioner of Moneyball. Yeah, this article goes on, and there's no need. But that's the bottom line. They're just trying to figure out how to make it faster. But how are you going to do that when you've got the algorithm guys and the stats guys saying, we don't want all that nonsense.
No.
We want it, you know. So we're going to finish with a happy thing. Right?
Yeah.
Termites? I keep forgetting to say night-night termite on stage at the end because I've been throwing out T-shirts. I really wanted to get a T-shirt gun, but they're like
$5,000. That's ridiculous.
Well, if you want to hit the balcony.
Yeah.
Because I always feel like, you know, the people down here got the best seats. Maybe those people should get a free T-shirt up there. But, and my throwing a T-shirt is so poor. I threw it underhand in Minnesota, and I threw it so far underhand it flew back over my head in a full circle. Thank God Bill was out there to grab it for me.
Wow.
Yeah, but anyway. This is just a fun little termite story. 106-year-old lady. She counts, she gives credit to the fact that she's lived this long and she's healthy. She drinks one Yuengling a day. Well, maybe not one, but has at least one every day. And I didn't even know about Yuengling. If you're from the Midwest, it's not really around. Back when I was young, it was not. So I went to the Philadelphia Funny Bone 100 years ago, and they had it in the club. And I was like, yeah, I want to taste that. Loved it. Yeah, that and Fat Tire and Spotted Cow, when I got out on the road and found those things. Well, the Pilsner, but Spotted Cow, come on. This is more of a, you can drink a bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Hinterland Brewery was fun in Green Bay, too. That was a lot of fun. 106-year-old Berks County woman who loves beer got a gift Thursday from her favorite brand. Yuengling provided a video of their special delivery, so we'll put a video in, because I haven't even watched the video.
Okay.
To Margaret DeLulo of Westlawn. Oh, she's almost 107.
Wow.
She drinks a lager a day, so they delivered her a truckload full. How great is that?
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
They dropped off. They stopped with a Yuengling truck full of delivery of suds. She says they wanted to show appreciation for her loyal support over the years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a long ass time.
That's great.
All right, termites. I'm going to do a little more research on the Pandora Papers. I keep saying I'm going to do it. And that's also included with the South Dakota. The Sioux Falls, all the money. It's a crazy story. I'll keep up with the zebras. You termites. Oh, where am I going? Where are you going to come see me? Going to...
What are you doing for Halloween?
For Halloween?
Mm-hmm.
Well, nothing, because I'm an adult.
Don't say it's so hateful.
No, I'll see the kids and their stuff. And I have a costume I'm going to make a video in.
Really?
Yep. It's pretty funny.
Are you going to be Stevie?
I'm not going to be Stevie. I'm not going to be any of these people. No.
Okay.
I'm going to be a product. Not a person, a product. I'll be going. November is so crazy. Oh my God. November. Well, the villages.
Mm-hmm.
Orlando.
Yep.
Stuart, Florida.
Yep.
And then Clearwater.
Uh-huh.
Then boom, fly to out west to Phoenix. To do Talking Stick the Casino. That is a super fun gig.
Yep.
And then back to Florida for Fort Myers, Sarasota, where my parents will be coming in a party bus. And
Ponte Verde.
Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
And then it's Thanksgiving.
And then I'm going to a casino in Charlestown, West Virginia on that Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be exciting. Everybody should be out having fun. So that's what I got for you, termites. I don't know if there's any tickets left. I don't think there's many left to the Florida shows. Fort Myers, there's some. In Sarasota, there's some. Although my parents keep calling and going,
we're going to need some more free tickets. It says it's sold out.
It's not sold out, Dad. I know. I know better than anyone. It's getting close, but
well, our people are saying it's sold out.
Okay.
What they mean is,
the Hard Rock, too. I'm excited about that in Orlando. All right, that's it, termites. Have yourselves a good week. Fun week. Be good, termites. Have a happy Halloween. I hope your weather is, you're not getting hit by the bombs like, oh, Lewis says New York's getting hit tomorrow. Yeah, I don't know. He just said it's supposed to be terrifying. That's all he's heard. Terrifying. Terrifying. Okay, termites. Night-night.